What are you to for the rest of your life? We could watch the stars at night twinkling high above. 'Cause I promise you for the rest of your life, well, I will be there by your side. I will be.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Connections Tuesday edition. And it's wonderful to have you here with me today. We have a wonderful guest to bring on today, somebody who's returning to the French Connection for repeat visits. She's got wonderful information, always timely, extremely well-researched, and we get a lot of requests to have Dr. Lorraine Day come onto the French Connection show, because she brings with her a whole lifetime of research in so many subjects, and she doesn't pull any punches. So what we'd like to do right now is bring her up. Lorraine, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Wonderful to have you here, Lorraine. You know, it's so much is happening right now. The work that Eric and myself and you and so many others, Jim Condit, now the list is very long, have been pushing so long about the truth about who's controlling everything and how it's done, is finally getting traction. And I see a lot of worry. We've been looking into so many of the ways things are done. And one of the things we talked about in our private call recently was how the medical system and university system and research system in the country has been compromised in favor of this particular group of, and it's not all, and I say this every time, it's not all Jewish participants, but the ones that are there have been inserted in some way as a controlling factor in so much of our university and medical structure. Can you talk a little bit about how you experienced that through your career as a physician?
Well, yes. First of all, I think when you say that it's not them completely, it's not the Jews completely, because there are other people involved. We should probably go back just to lay a little groundwork. About 400 years ago or so, whenever Queen Elizabeth I was in power, her head of security, John Dee, was a Jew. And that was probably in modern times where the elitist non-Jews and the Jewish elite got together and made a pact that together they would rule the world. Now, the Jews are a small enough group around the world that they know that they can't rule everything by themselves. They've got to have someone to help get them there. And so that's when they made the alliance with the elitists. And John Dee was successful in convincing Elizabeth the First that she and the British should rule the world, and that they could do it because the Jews had the money supply and the ability to lend the money to them. This was done after a private agreement that John Dee made with, I think, Rabbi Ben Yoham in Prague.
Yes.
Now, this is a very important thing, because in Prague now there is a statue to the golem. Many people have never heard of a golem. A golem is supposedly a created being that a rabbi created. And that is the basis of the story of the Frankenstein monster. And so, which now is made into horror movies and almost has become a joke, but you'll notice the name is Frankenstein. This is a Jewish name. And so the Jews have always wanted to be able to create, because you see, God created the earth and the heaven and the sea and all that, and the Jews want to be God and want to create. Now, again, I'm not talking about every single Jew, but we're talking about a plan that is outlined in detail in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and many books written by Jews that are available if anybody really wants to look at it. This is really the basis when you say that it's not just the Jews, but in their Talmud, which is their holiest book, the Jews do not really believe in the Old Testament. They believe in the Talmud. The Talmud, they all agree, and the biggest rabbis agree, that the Talmud is their guiding holy book. The Talmud was written by Pharisees. It was the doctrines of the oral tradition of the Pharisees. And it really turns everything upside down that the Bible says. Now, this is all very important in understanding what has happened to medicine and research funding and all that. So they got together with the elitist non-Jews, but in their Talmud it says that a Jewish doctor is never to save the life of a non-Jew. Never to save the life of a non-Jew.
And but we get some of our traditions in advance of that from a Greek structure, don't we? Or yeah.
Well, let me finish this thought.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Talmud, they say you should never a Jewish doctor should never save the life of a non-Jew unless the non-Jews, the Gentiles, if you will, which is a mistranslation of the word cattle. Unless the Gentiles have so much power that a Jewish doctor's life would be at stake if he did not save the life of a non-Jew. All right? So Judaism and the Jewish culture are chameleon-like, and they will say whatever is necessary for them to get where they want to get at the time they want to get there.
Yep.
So if the Gentiles are in power, then they say, oh, well, we'll save the life of Gentiles. Oh, it never says that in the protocols. But once they are in power, all these the elitists that they have made these agreements with, such as George Bush and Dick Cheney and others that are doing their bidding, they will eliminate them as fast as they will eliminate any of the rest of us. Okay.
Well, you see examples of that in history as well, though, because once they're ensconced in a system, they move anybody who's not on their particular grouping aside and take full control.
They only bring in Jews and they get rid of all the others.
Well, that's right. And you know, a woman named Dillings some years ago
Elizabeth
wrote some very
Dillings.
Powerful things, didn't she?
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Nesta Webster and Elizabeth Dillings. Elizabeth Dillings in the 70s or 80s and Nesta Webster in the 30s and 40s wrote very great authors who wrote extensively about this.
Yep.
And so now what has happened is in the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and in other Jewish literature, they tell Jews to become doctors and infiltrate the system and take over.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way, it actually says this in the Talmud and in the Protocols, that way they can destroy, by being the doctors of the Gentiles, they can destroy the Gentiles. All right? It says that in there.
Well, and does that include, I mean, did they kind of broaden that approach and get involved in GlaxoSmithKline and blah, 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 and start doing a lot of the more progressive research such as Salk and others?
Are you calling that progressive?
Well, in their view, I mean, because basically what you start looking at is ways of actually killing off whole populations now.
That's right. Oh, absolutely. This is designed to not only make money, kill the population, but make money while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? This is part of population extermination. All right? So what they did was they started becoming physicians. Then they started getting in charge of the research funding for physicians, and then they started becoming heads, academic deans of medical schools where they have control over what is taught to medical students and control over who is accepted to medical school. So the head of the NIH is almost always Jewish, or is someone that is higher level, but just behind the head is a Jew. Now, the Centers for Disease Control, which is the number one supposed health agency in America, governmental health agency, the head of that is a woman named Dr. Julie Gerberding, who is Jewish.
Yep.
Now, Julie and I were colleagues at San Francisco General Hospital for many, many years. Julie is an infectious disease doctor. And when the AIDS epidemic exploded in San Francisco, naturally the infectious disease people were involved in AIDS patients, but the attending doctors, she was not a surgeon, the attending doctors didn't touch the patients. the interns on their service had to draw the blood, and they were at risk of getting stuck with a needle stick. But we surgeons who operated on them were at enormous risk because we were floating around in AIDS blood all the time, you see. And so Julie Gerberding, the very first, I was, just for background for people listening, I am a trauma surgeon. I was chief of San Francisco General Hospital, the only trauma hospital in San Francisco, and I was at San Francisco General Hospital from 1974 to 1990. And AIDS exploded in 1981, and I operated on arguably more AIDS patients than any surgeon in the country, which eventually ended me up on a number of television shows, virtually every television show in America and in Australia and England, many of them, and eventually ended up on 60 Minutes because our risk was so enormous. And the first healthcare worker who got AIDS from a single needle stick was a nurse at our hospital. And at that time, I found out the government was lying about AIDS. Well, Julie Gerberding and I were on a television show, the very first television show I was on about AIDS, in San Francisco. And on that television show, she just flat out lied to the public about the information on AIDS. And I sat there with my mouth hanging open. And after the show, I said to her, "Why would you say that?" She says, "Well, we have to be careful about the psyche of the AIDS patients." I said, "Yes, but you're lying to the rest of the public." And she just turned and walked away. Now, that is the person who has now been rewarded by becoming head of the Centers for Disease Control of America.
Yeah.
All right? So that, I'm telling you, that is what is happening.
Now, when you started looking into that AIDS problem and doing some of your own behind-the-scenes research, wasn't there some red flags around research that had gone on at Fort Detrick and some
AIDS
connections
was,
to
AIDS was a man-made virus that was made at Fort Detrick, Maryland. I've written a book called AIDS What the Government Isn't Telling You, which is available at my website at www.drday.com.
Yep.
If you buy that book, I include the document, which is House Bill 15090,
yep,
the House of Representatives meeting where they called for the AIDS virus to be made. And they were talking to the head physician at Fort Detrick, Maryland, which is the Government Biological Research Institute. And they asked for it to be made. The documentation is all there. And I also include the 1963 congressional record, which it was read into the record that homosexuality would be promoted as a normal, natural, healthy, alternate lifestyle in order as one factor of 45 for the communists to take over America and take it down without a shot.
Yeah. Because it would destroy family cohesion.
That's correct. That's
yeah.
Right. And introduce degeneracy and sexual immorality and disease and all of
no,
that.
Lorraine, you know, for so long, I mean, people, you know, I talk to a lot of people from in this, with this subject matter. I have people from the Muslim world, from Christian world. Many of them are very devout, and many of them find homosexuality to be criminal. And what I always say to them is, look, the criminality in it is not the way that it's practiced by the rank and file human being participating in it, but rather how it's promoted and how it's placed out into the world as an alternative and the way it's done. In other words, some of these men will have 400, 500, and 600 sex partners in a year by going to some of these bathhouses and whatnot, and this is not this is something that degrades the entire society where it's happening.
Well, absolutely. I took care of thousands of homosexuals and thousands of them who had AIDS.
Yeah.
But before AIDS ever came along, the homosexual community was a community waiting for a disaster because their immune systems were so suppressed because of their multiple sexual partners, their anal sex, and contamination, fecal contamination, and they also used a lot of drugs during their sexual activity to heighten the experience. And so they had extremely suppressed immune systems. There were many gay diseases, solely gay diseases, before AIDS came along. There was gay bowel syndrome. There was rupture of the anal sphincter. There were foreign bodies inserted into the lower intestine through the rectum. There, I mean, we had a whole museum of things that we had taken out of the lower intestine of gay men, including light bulbs and a hardened plaster of Paris and even a toolbox. And I mean, various things like that. This is not healthy behavior.
Well, no, and then see, but what ends up happening too, and you'll go around the world, and especially to the centers. I'm an NYU graduate, and I live near the West Village, and of course there was an aggressiveness when there was a Friday or Saturday night where they would go out be outside of the bounds often of good behavior in society. And cruise people who wanted nothing to do with it. There were acts being committed right in the street in front of me, and I would sit, you know, stand there and say, my goodness, this is like way past anything that I ever expected.
Well,
and you
they
could
always
see,
want to turn a heterosexual. They want to particularly prey on straight men to see if they can turn them. That's one of their great joys. Now, people say, oh, well, this is bigotry. No, I can tell you this. I have been accused of bigotry and all of those things many times. But, you see, this is the one I want here. I just want to read you something here.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to do is save the lives not only of heterosexuals but homosexuals as well, because
yep.
You can't live a lifestyle like this and remain well.
That's right.
I want to read you something. If you are a parent, a mother or father, counseling your son on a future career, would you encourage him to take a job that would, number one, decrease his life expectancy by 30 years, two, give him only a 9% chance of living to reach old age, three, put him in a situation where he is 87 times more apt to be murdered than a man not in his occupation. Four, make him 25 times more apt to commit suicide. Five, increase by 18 times his chance of death by a traffic accident. Six, make it virtually impossible for him to have children in a long-term loving and supportive marriage. Seven, increase his chance by possibly 100 times of getting a severe intestinal infection that leads to colostomy. And eight, increase his chance by many thousands of times of getting AIDS. I'm sure you would not recommend any occupation even half as dangerous for your son as the one I have just described. But I did not describe an occupation. I described male homosexuality.
Yeah.
Okay? That is what it does.
Yeah.
And when you start saying, don't do this, people say, oh, you just don't want us to have any fun. You're just some sort of a moral Bible thumper. No, I don't want you to kill yourself or anybody else.
Well, Lorraine, you know my stand on religious information. However, at the same time, this is not where I think you've gone with this at all. And in fact, we've talked a little bit about this in some other broadcasts, but I have friends that are gay. I have relatives in my family, and I know people where I live now. They're good, caring, loving people, and they've been sold a bill of goods. They've been sold a lifestyle on television and in their daily lives that doesn't inform them of these facts.
That's right. They are.
And I would like to tell them, look, you know, I'm not against you in any way because you anybody who's got consciousness deserves my efforts. But at the same time, what I'm seeing here is a way for our social destruction, and it's working. Is the thing?
That's
it's
right.
Working.
It's social and physical destruction. It's no different from the horrors of vaccination.
Did they do this to the German public? Because you know something, much of the sickest pornography in the previous 100 years came out of Germany, and Germany was a completely subjected. Subjected to this kind of sickness early on, and
the reason that Hitler wanted the Jews out of his country, his plan never was to exterminate them. He wanted them out of his country because they were promoting this same sort of degeneracy.
Yeah.
And so that's what he was. They were destroying the culture. They were destroying the art. They were destroying the morality, and he wanted them out.
And he made some deals with them to get them out, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. They worked with him because what they wanted, what the Jews wanted, they wanted Hitler to oppress them far more than he did. far more than he did, because they wanted Jews to immigrate to Israel, to Palestine at that time, so they would have enough there. See, World War One, the primary purpose of World War One was to get Palestine out of the hands of the Turks and into the hands of the British. The British government is owned by the Jews. The Rothschilds in the city of London rule the world.
Yeah.
The Rothschilds are Jews.
Yeah.
And so Britain got a hold of Palestine after World War One, and then World War Two was designed for two main things. To then get Palestine from the hands of the British into the hands of the Jews, and to give virtually all of Eastern Europe to the communists, and the communist communism is a Jewish system right out of the Jewish Talmud.
And they, what's his name, Baruch and others from New York actually shipped over the first group with $20 million in tow.
The Wall Street bankers funded the entire takeover of Christian Tsarist Russia.
That's right.
By the Jewish Bolsheviks. Lenin was a Jew.
Yep.
Stalin was a Jew.
Trotsky
was a Jew.
Yep.
Karl Marx was a Jew. And 80% of all the ruling body of Russia after the Bolsheviks took over were Jews.
And they even made it illegal in Russia to identify a Jew, which is exactly what they're trying to do again in the United States, and have already succeeded in some ways to do here where I live.
Well, that's correct. And so what has happened now, the medical aspect of this is just another plan to exterminate Gentiles. The Jews, first of all, have this persecution myth that everything that happens to them, even if you point out what they are really doing, oh, they cry and scream and carry on and say, you are a bigot, you are anti-Semitic. The whole point is they accuse Gentiles of doing to them what they are actually doing to Gentiles.
That's right.
All right?
Yeah.
And so people have to understand that. So what they have done is they have infiltrated the medical profession to an enormous degree and controlled the funding. The funding is mainly handed out from the National Institutes of Health in America in the Washington, D.C. area, and they really control that. Now, I was surprised as I look back on it. When I was at UC San Francisco Medical School, I was on the faculty there for 15 years, and I had a colleague in the orthopedic surgery department who was Jewish, and he and I were very good friends, and he had been a neurologist, and then he became an orthopedic surgeon as well, and he had a dual appointment in both the neurology and the orthopedic surgery departments. Now, every year he got funding from the National Institutes of Health, the NIH. Every year he got funding, and other people had much more trouble getting funding than he did. And so we asked him, how do you get this funding? He said, oh, I go back to the NIH every year, and I ask them, what kinds of projects do you want funded this year? Do you want to fund this year? So he says, I always tailor my research to be in the broad category that they want funded.
Yeah.
That was the first time I realized that they have a very planned system of what they want funded.
And this is interesting because my cousin did some research, Lorraine, on a family called Flexner. And they were working out of the Rockefeller Institute in New York back at the beginning of the last century. Four brothers. One of them was a biochemist, and a couple of others were very high-level researchers. And what they did is they tailored a great amount of research, both that turned into the Scripps Institute was formed by them, and so many others. And you look at the forerunners of these government organizations came right out of some of the Rockefeller research projects that started back at the turn of the last century. And, of course, you and I both know that Rockefeller's entire funding apparatus was given to him by Rothschild.
That's right. That's right. And so what I realized is they are funding research. There are two main areas of research they want to fund. Now, this encompasses a very broad area. Number one, they want to encompass research on how they can create. All right? That's what all this embryonic stem cell research is for, and that's why they introduced and approved of partial birth abortion. For those who don't understand what partial birth abortion is, it is the most horrific thing you can imagine.
Yep.
They wait until a child is full grown in the womb. And then when it is ready to be born, they can turn it around inside the mother's womb and have it come out feet first instead of head first. So they deliver the entire child alive, except the head is still in the mother's womb. Then they reach in with an instrument and stick it into the base of the brain of the unborn alive child. That is, his legs and arms are moving, and it's already the last instant to have its head come out. And they stick an instrument in and suck out its brain. That is what partial birth abortion is. And the reason they want it is, number one, they want it for organ donations. Because when they have a full-term child that's ready to be born, the organs, they then immediately take it into the next room and take out all of its organs to be used for organ donation. So they make a pile of money on this. Now, you see, the hospital is not allowed, or the unit that's doing the abortions is not allowed to sell the babies. But what happens is, the way they get around that is that these donor companies come in, dismember this child, and they pay a huge fee for the use of the room. And that's the way they get around buying the baby's dead bodies. Okay? That's the way they do it. And then they sell these organs on the market for huge amounts of money. You can get a list of prices, and yet it's against the law to sell it for a fixed price. But they do it and call it a processing fee.
I've got a question for you about recent information that has come out of Minsk and Belarus and some other areas in the, not in Russia itself, but in some of the old Russian satellite areas of near Kiev, where there are babies being born specifically for extraction of certain body parts or whatever to help an elite group stay young.
That's right. That's right. They're doing that. They're taking the pituitary glands of babies, and they are taking hormones from babies. And, well, the other thing is, I mean, this may sound over the edge, but there are elitist groups that drink the blood of murdered children, because they think that will give them youth. That goes all the way back to the darkest voodoo in Africa, where they cannibalize their enemies to get their life force and power and all of that. And whether it's Satan worship in darkest voodoo Africa, or the same sort of Luciferian worship by the elitists, which many of them do, it's all the same thing. Whether it's done by people wearing business suits and ties and white shirts, or in darkest Africa, where they're just wearing a thong and dancing up and down to voodoo music.
How is it that I could have stood beside someone like this, maybe worked with them, maybe had conferences or discussions, and not knew that these are their proclivities? How would I know? How could they move among us without giving up the fact that they are this sick?
Oh, because that's what they do. That's what they do. In fact, the Bible says that Satan will come as an angel of light. They will look absolutely. You know who was the serial killer? The young man who I know in America who killed about 15 women.
And, Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy, he looked fine. I mean, if you didn't know, you would have wanted him as your friend.
Well, the worst one in history was this guy named Shipman over there in England.
I don't remember him.
Well, Shipman killed 400 women.
Yeah.
And he used morphine, and then he steal their fortunes. And Mr. Shipman, of course, was a British Jewish doctor. And,
yeah.
Geez, 400 women in their later years, of course, but of course they were healthy at the time, and
right. Well, so the other thing about Voodoo Africa, you'll notice that the music for young people coming in now has the same beat as Voodoo music in Africa, and the same screaming and the same tribal beat. And so this is all part of the degeneracy of our civilization. People think, oh, it's just, this is the kind of music the kids like. No, this is planned from the Tavistock Institute in England.
Oh.
This whole business was planned.
Oh, Lorraine, that that and the Stanford Institute as well, doing much of it on the West Coast.
Right. Stanford Research Institute, the Aspen Institute, the Tavistock Institute, these are all institutes of the New World Order, Illuminati.
Yep.
70% of the Illuminati are Jews. And the others, they just need to get where they're going. But when they get there and the Jews control everything, then they will eliminate the non-Jews from the Illuminati and all these other organizations. And the non-Jews like George Bush and Dick Cheney and all that, who are just their puppets, don't realize that when the Jews get control, they're dead meat.
Well, there might, and you start, what you're starting to see right now is they're getting thrown to the dogs, because of the world finding out about their, you know, the crimes that they've committed.
Well, they always have people up in front who have lots of skeletons in their closet. No president in America ever gets to be president if he's really clean. They always make sure he has skeletons so they can hold that over their head so they can unravel them at any time.
Well, you know, we put up a video on our site. It gets taken down off of Google often, called The Money Masters.
Yeah, right.
And if you, you know, if you want a non-accusatory description of the real people behind everything, this video does it. They don't name names like we're doing, and they don't give you some of these behind the scenes facts, but they lay out the entire history of this criminal explosion we've seen in the last 150 years very, very clearly.
But if you don't name names and you don't identify it as a Jewish run whole conspiracy.
You're doing half the job.
People don't get it. They just can't imagine that people could be that evil.
That's right.
Now, again, I'm saying not every Jew is like this. I'm not trying to say take the whole culture. They're not a race. They are a culture. I'm not saying every Jew is like this. But I am saying that most every Jew is raised to believe that they're better than everybody else.
Well, but you know, here's the interesting thing about what I've experienced growing up, especially living in New York for as long as I did. There are many rank and file Jews who are not following very closely this religious doctrine, and they're marrying outside of Judaism. They found that it's at odds with being a good person, and some of these people have moved away from it. I mean, these are the people that I fight so vigorously for, because I don't want to see good people swept up in some pogrom because of the criminality of the leadership within a religion
See, what the rank and file Jews do not understand, that they are just as deceived as the so-called Gentiles. Because the big Jews, like Bronfman, who is head of Seagram's Whiskey and the World Jewish Congress, and Abraham Foxman, and the Rothschilds, and the Warburgs, and the Kissingers, those people, you will notice, do not live in Israel. They live in luxury, either in England, or in France, or in the United States, in New York, or various
other
places. They live in luxury in places that are safe. They use the little Jews as cannon fodder to live in Israel by scaring them into saying, oh, we need a place where only Jews live, where everybody's safe. Well, Israel is about the most dangerous place you could live right now.
That's right.
And so they don't live there. If the little Jews would just look at their leaders who are encouraging them to go to Israel but wouldn't step foot in the place themselves for more than a day or two, and that with guards surrounding them, I mean, they are using the little Jews, and they will sacrifice them in a minute.
You know, Lorraine, last time you were on, we did touch on it slightly, but this bird flu nonsense, right, that's still floating around.
The what?
Bird flu, right. Well, now, when I started looking at this, what I thought, and this was early on in my education, I had a guy named Henry Nyman. Dr. Nyman from the Scripps Institute, which I looked back on it, and the Scripps Institute is a rotten cesspool, and I said to myself, it sounds plausible, blah, blah, blah. And what I thought is that, you know, it's possible that somebody could make a man-made virus that would do something like this. But what it was being promoted as is something naturally occurring event that was going to wipe us out like 1918. And I thought to myself when I talked to you two times ago that this disease could possibly erupt, but it would be completely man-made.
Well, Henry Nyman, first of all, is a Jew. And secondly, he makes his living by predicting how to make vaccines.
Yes.
So naturally, he would have some interest in promoting the idea that we're going to have a pandemic of bird flu.
Right.
If people will just go to my website, I have two websites. One is www.drday.com, and the
right.
other one is www.goodnewsaboutgod.com. Good News About God is all one word, all small letters.
Mm-hmm.
Goodnewsaboutgod.com. If you don't even want to read the religious information there, there's a whole area on health and a whole area on political.
Yep.
And I show, if you read about Jeff Rentz there, you will see the controversy over bird flu. That's one reason I'm no longer on his program,
yep.
because he promotes these people who are not telling the truth about bird flu. Now, they're talking about there have been 75 deaths from bird flu in Indonesia or someplace like that. Well, first of all, no one, certainly nobody like you or me, could ever verify that there was even one single death. It's just in the media.
Well, wouldn't they have more people falling off ladders and dying in a year?
Well, not only that, you have more people dying of allergies to peanuts than that.
That's right.
And so the whole point is 75 out of a nation of several billion is nothing. I mean, people are dying of pneumonia all the time. They're dying of pneumonia. They can just say it's bird flu pneumonia, and nobody would know the difference. And the idea that they say, oh, it's a pandemic, it's going to sweep the world, oh, give me a break. You know, there are more people who stub their toenails in a day.
Is it possible they could juice up a sickness that could sweep the world?
There will be a sickness that sweeps the world, but they will do it by vaccination. That is exactly how they did the 1918 flu epidemic.
That's right.
No spontaneous 1918 flu epidemic. How it started was this.
Yeah.
The troops in America, Germany, and England were all given vaccinations. They were given vaccinations of horrific things, and they didn't have the flu. They had horrible diseases. They were internal bleeding and bleeding from their mouths and bleeding from their intestines and all this. This isn't rank and file flu. This is a totally different disease. They were injected with it. And then they all started getting sick, and then after the war, after World War I, when they started coming home, then in America, the government said, oh, these men are coming home with the flu, and all the other people are going to get it, so you better line up and get vaccinated. If you go on my website and you read about bird flu, you will find that I include several chapters from a book written by a woman who was a physician at the time that this 1918 flu. Actually, she was a child, but her parents were physicians, and she became a physician. She said nobody died. Nobody died. Nobody got the flu that had not been vaccinated. It was all a product of the vaccinations, and that's what they're going to try to do with bird flu. They're going to say, oh, we've got this pandemic coming, and then they will mandate vaccinations for bird flu, and that's the way they're going to kill people. But it won't be with bird flu. It'll be with all these other terrible things. They'll put anthrax and everything else in there, and they'll call it bird flu.
Well, you know,
that's their plan.
Lorraine, you know, and here's the interesting thing. That they've got plans, and they carry them out, and it often seems as though they don't care that we know.
Well, that's right, because they have so much power, they control the media. And so suppose you and I know, who are we going to tell except like this? But so everybody sits home and watches their television set and becomes a zombie. They read the newspaper, they read Time Magazine and Newsweek, and they believe the propaganda they are fed. You know as well as I know that you can talk to these people, and it looks like they are brainless, and they don't want to know what's going on.
Why is that? What have they done already to these people? I mean, you know my story, Lorraine, and I try to be as healthy as I can be today, effort I make toward my health is better than none, and I make mistakes. We've talked. You know I make mistakes. However, I see people around me who the lights are on, but there's nobody home.
That's right.
And that's the norm, not the exception. What is going on out there?
Well, first of all, let's not even talk about the content of what is on television. Let's just talk about watching a lighted box, all right? A lighted box is like watching a hypnotist who has a light. It's a flickering light, and it will actually put the brain into waves that are the hypnotic waves. When you, if you take a person who has never watched television at all, and you put them in front of a television set, it will take 45 minutes before their brain will enter into hypnotic waves. If you put that same person in front of a television set the next night, it will only take 5 minutes before they become hypnotized by the flickering light. And the following day, the third day, they will go into these hypnotic waves in 5 seconds. All right? So everybody watches television all the time. Every mother has had the experience of calling her children to dinner who are sitting in front of the television set. She can look at them and call them, and they are in a zombie state.
You don't watch TV, do you?
Well, the thing is that TV is the greatest thing that will, that has destroyed every nation in the world.
Yeah, but I don't watch it either, and neither does Eric, and neither do most people that are fighting this fight with us. They don't watch it either.
That's right, because every show will propagandize you. If we're watching a football game, when the commercials come on, I will flip up and down the dials to see what's on the other shows. First of all, television is being totally Judaized. We have Seinfeld, which is very Jewish, and they have all Jewish terms, and we have Everybody Loves Raymond, which claims to be Italian, but it is a Jewish family if there ever was one.
Absolutely.
The way they treat each other. And then you have they have Crossing Jordan. Now, Jordan is a Jewish name.
Yep.
And then they have various others, like they have The Amazing Race. Well, that's just a takeoff on the Christian phrase Amazing Grace. And then, of course, they have Will and Grace, and I've never watched it, but I hear...
Oh, that is awful. That is one of the sickest...
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is all the degeneracy that is being brought into our culture because the networks, all the television networks are owned by Jews. The movie studios are owned by Jews. The newspapers are owned by Jews. The magazines are owned by Jews. So all of this is the degeneracy of the Jewish culture coming in to what was previously a Christian culture, which had some morality. Even if people weren't Christians, they were raised in a Christian culture where there was some morality, some integrity, some desire to tell the truth and not to tell lies. And all of this is being totally destroyed by the infiltration of the Jewish culture.
Yes, right.
And so, but back to the business, I was saying that there are two things that they fund particularly. One is every aspect, like embryonic stem cell research and all that. People say, oh, isn't it wonderful? They're trying to help people with Parkinson's. Well, the way people with Parkinson's can be helped is, especially Michael J. Fox, I have seen him sitting on a television show being interviewed where his hand is shaking so much that he can hardly hold the Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke, whatever he's the spokesperson for, in his hand. Well, that contains aspartame, NutraSweet, which is one of the biggest causes of his Parkinson's.
That's right.
Okay? He's sitting there drinking it while he's trying to raise funds to find out how to get these people well. It is not through embryonic stem cell research. By the way, they have implanted some of this fetal tissue in the brains of people with Parkinson's, and they have been absolutely destroyed by it. These people develop these flailing arms and flailing legs, and they can't even participate in society. They're just an absolute mess. And the doctors don't give a rip. They just go back to the drawing board and say, well, we're going to do some more of these. People's lives are destroyed. Here, Michael J. Fox, his life has been destroyed. But he also has been a very big drinker, and he was a very big drinker at a young age, and that is neurotoxic. It causes nerves to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And when people drink alcohol, and when they then eat MSG, which is in almost all processed food and restaurant food, not just Chinese restaurants, almost all food that you can
eat. And how about fluoride as well, Lorraine?
Fluoride as well. Fluoride.
And doesn't fluoride build up? And how about the polychlorinated biphenyls that are in all of our rivers and streams? And and in our fish that we eat, and in most of our groundwater.
That's right. That's why I'm a total vegan vegetarian. I don't eat any of those things. I don't eat processed food. And that's one reason that your mind can work well if you don't have it all clouded up with all of these things. And
right.
It is possible to eat well, and it's not all that difficult. So anyway, all of these things, they're trying to find out, first of all, how to create a human being, and the cloning is part of that, because they want to create a whole race of people that are totally under their control, and they're also trying to create a hybrid, like a human head on a horse body, so they can use them as beasts of burden, but they have higher intelligence so they can do more things. But this is what they're trying to do, and that's what all this embryonic stem cell research is really going for. But the people who are doing it don't understand what the greater goal is.
Don't they, like, haven't they already crossed spiders with goats and stuff, and they've taken some elements of a DNA from goats and mixed it with spider DNA and come out with spider goats? And
well, that's correct. They have done many, many of those things. But that one thing is to try to create human being, and clone animals and clone human beings and create them. And the second thing is for torture techniques. All of this pain control, you'll see pain clinics, and they're supposed to be relieving pain. But the ultimate goal of the research at the highest levels of the Jews is to induce pain in individuals without killing them, so they can keep them alive and keep introducing pain, more pain, and more pain in torture techniques. All right? This is what it's for. And the doctors who are doing the research do not have a clue that that's how it's going to be used.
So, well, you know, what I've always known, and we go back to earlier times, when someone is in serious pain, Lorraine, serious pain, and they're given morphine at a rational amount for that pain, they don't become completely addicted to it, but their pain subsides because morphine mimics the endorphin structure of molecule, and in fact their pain is relieved. And what we've got today is moratoriums or laws or regulations against giving the most effective pain medicine for the worst kinds of pain.
Well, actually you will become addicted to pain medications if you take them long enough. If you take them over a couple of weeks, even if it's for the right reason, you will become addicted, because everybody does, almost everybody does, when they are given this kind of a pain reliever over a period of time. I've taken care of many, many people who have become addicted to drugs that doctors have given them, all right?
Mm.
So they are all dangerous. There are other ways to relieve pain. In my workbook, Getting Started on Getting Well, I show natural ways to relieve pain. Most of the pain that's brought about, except from trauma, if you get run over by a truck or you get shot or something, most of the pain is brought on by the way people live and the way people eat. There are all sorts of things that people eat that actually can cause pain. One of the biggest pain relievers is water drinking. When you don't drink water and you are stressed, you will get neck pain and back pain. And if you learn how to handle your stress and you start drinking water, those kinds of pains will go away. People get headaches all the time, and headaches are caused by many different things. They're caused by caffeine withdrawal. They're caused by smoking withdrawal. If you haven't had a cigarette and you're addicted to cigarettes, they're caused by too much tension, too much stress. But there, people go ahead and take an aspirin or a Tylenol or something else. But no headache is caused by a deficiency of aspirin. Headaches are caused by all these other things. And what we have to really do is learn how to handle those things. And that's what my videos and DVDs talk about, how you can do that. I never have headaches. I haven't had a headache for, I can't remember having a headache, maybe one headache in 10 years.
Well, you know, I've got an 85-year-old father-in-law, and he's on all kinds of drugs. He was on Plavix, and I mean, it was a medicine cabinet. It was like a drugstore. He was on like six or eight different very powerful drugs. He's been removed from most of them, and he's returning to us. He's 85, and he's clearing up. His health is returning. His diet is getting better. Everything is improving.
Right.
As he gets off these criminal drugs they've been pouring in him. And many of them have been discovered in the last 10 years. This is not the proverbial single aspirin a day to keep your blood flowing good. This is a cocktail to kill him.
By the way, aspirin, a single aspirin a day does not keep your blood flowing well. The reason people have thick blood, which causes clots, there are two main reasons. Number one, because they're not drinking enough water, because the fluid portion of the blood is better than 98% water. If you don't have enough water, you don't have enough water to make the serum, and your blood will get thick. The second thing is eating animal products. Animal products, whether it's meat, poultry, or fish, contain 40% fat. And it's marbled in the meat. It's not just what's on the outside. So when you eat animal products, you are putting way too much fat into your blood, and that thickens your blood. So the way to thin your blood is not to take aspirin. The way to thin your blood is, first of all, exercise, drink lots of water, 10 glasses a day, and then stop eating animal products, and your blood will get thin. The appropriate thinness, and you won't have any worries about clots and high blood pressure and strokes and heart attacks and things like that.
That doesn't explain what I do about camembert, though.
Well, the whole point is it just depends on how much you want to be healthy.
I'm teasing, Lorraine, but I do love a piece of camembert, I got
to
say.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, what we have to do, I have, for those of you who don't know, I had serious advanced cancer.
Yes.
If you go to my website at drday.com, you'll see how big my tumor was. I had breast cancer. I refused chemotherapy. I refused radiation. I refused mastectomy, and I got well by totally natural methods. When we are children, we want to do what we want, what makes us feel good.
Mm.
But when we become mature adults, we should eat to live and not live to eat. And so if camembert or any other kind of cheese is bad for my health, I'm not going to eat it.
But why is it that the French allow natural enzymes in these cheeses and they allow a non-pasteurized milk to be processed? And Americans kill the milk in the first place and serve you up.
No human being needs milk after they're weaned, and no human being needs any milk except mother's milk. There's no other animal that drinks milk after it's weaned. We don't need milk. This is, in fact, milk drinking, whether raw or pasteurized, milk drinking is the number one cause of juvenile onset diabetes. Because there is a protein in the whey portion of the milk. When it comes into the human body recognizes that it is not of its own. It is something foreign. And so it makes an antibody against it. Well, that protein in the milk, in the whey portion of the milk, is almost identical to a protein that is in the cells of the, called islets of Langerhans in the pancreas that produces insulin. So when the antibodies are formed, they can't tell the difference between the protein from milk, cow's milk or goat's milk, and the protein that's in the cell in their own pancreas, and so they turn on their own pancreas and destroy it. And that's what causes those. That's the main cause of juvenile onset diabetes, where a child then has to be on insulin for the rest of their lives. The number one cause of amputation of feet and legs is diabetes. The number two cause of blindness is diabetes. And so you can avoid all that by not feeding your kids milk. Now, adult onset diabetes is from eating too much sugar and too much fat, particularly animal fat. And all people have to do with adult onset diabetes or diabetes type 2 is start exercising, drink their water, go on a vegan diet, stop eating sugar, and they will reverse their diabetes in within 6 months.
And here's the fact: you've got all this information placed down in book form that people can find as well on your website.
Correct. Videos, right?
Yeah, and here's the thing: as I've gotten older, I've begun to cut out a lot of the things that I know aren't healthy for me, and at least try and reduce some of the things that are. And one of the problems is I've been acculturated and indoctrinated into this self-destructive kind of world we live in. But I find myself every year, and I'm 50 in about 3 weeks, I find myself trying to do better, and I am doing better. It's interesting because I'm feeling better in spite of having some health concerns that are pretty serious. I'm doing better. And it does change your life as you make these decisions, and I can feel it, Lorraine.
Well, it also allows you to use your brain and think better and discern truth from lies.
That's right.
You see?
Sometimes I ask Eric, I said, geez, I wish sometimes I didn't know all this stuff, you know?
Well, but you don't really. I mean, I feel the same way sometimes because all of this information has a tendency to alienate you from society because people think we're all nuts.
Yeah.
But
right.
On the other hand, you don't really want to go back and be ignorant of what's really happening.
No. Once a pickle, never a cucumber, huh?
Yeah, once your mind has been opened, you can never go back. And
no.
So I think that, in fact, it's a difficult life to lead because we're not on the same page with most of the world. But on the other hand, there are some people who want to know. But most, not only is television making them into zombies, but the way they're eating. If you see, you know, everybody is eating at fast food restaurants, and they're taking the families don't eat together anymore. If they do, it's stuff they bring home from a fast food place.
That's right.
And so they're just destroying their minds with the food they're eating. What you what goes into your mouth is equally as important as what goes into your mind. So you eat, if you eat fast food and you watch television, you are turning yourself into an idiot.
I see the result of it, and Eric and I discuss this all the time, and sometimes we've wondered, are these people born this way, or is it foisted upon them by their decisions? And I have come to the conclusion
they're not born that way.
No, they're not.
It to themselves. We do it to ourselves. But I want to tell you some other little thing that parents listening. I want to tell you what you're doing to your children. The age of puberty. At the turn of the century, the 18th and 1900s, early 1900s, the age of puberty was, for both boys and girls, was close to 18 years old. And so by the time they became sexually aware, they were old enough to get married and have a family. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the age of puberty has dropped by 6 months every 10 years. Now the age of puberty of children, both boys and girls, is about age 10. For black girls, it is age 9. 50% of black girls enter puberty between age 8 and 9, and 3% of black girls enter puberty at age 3. Age 3.
Is this from the hormones in our beef?
The reason is not just the hormones in the beef. The reason is we have changed from a mainly vegetable-based diet, vegetable, grain, and fruit, to an animal-based diet. Now, that is even before the hormones were added.
And how about soy products being fed to these animals?
I talk about that in my workbook. You don't have to have soy products. All the protein that anybody needs can be gotten from vegetables, fruits, and grains. I have a vegetable protein chart in my workbook, Getting Started on Getting Well, and many other pieces of information from the medical literature showing you can get all the protein you need from fruits, grains, and vegetables. Now, here's what happens. When someone eats a mainly meat, or when I say meat, I'm talking about meat, poultry, and fish, and dairy, and eggs, okay? When they eat animal products, they destroy a particular substance that's produced in the intestine. When a child before puberty produces estrogen or testosterone, boy or girl, and they all do, this is meant to circulate once in the body and then be attached by a molecule, which is called conjugation, attached by a molecule which inactivates the estrogen or testosterone. It goes out of the body, and then the body makes more, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you eat an animal-based diet, animal product-based diet, you will stop that process of the substances that are produced in your intestine. So when estrogen and testosterone are produced by the little boy or girl, respectively, this will not be attached by this molecule that will inactivate it. And so it keeps circulating over and over and over in the body. All right? So then that throws the child into puberty faster. Now, when they add hormones to the animals, it does it even faster. But even without the hormones, people say, oh, well, I'll eat organically grown beef. The beef that doesn't have hormones in it, it will still happen.
I also read a very important study, and it was done, I think it was done in Europe here somewhere, where it says our reliance and our continued increased reliance on soybeans is feminizing men.
Well,
it is adding a lot of female hormones to their diet and causing them to end up becoming feminized.
Well, that's true, except that it's doing the same thing to women. It's causing an increase in breast cancer. Women think if they eat soy, they'll decrease their risk of breast cancer. Animal products increase the risk of all kinds of cancers in both men and women. But let me finish my story about puberty.
Yep.
What is happening then, what is happening is that young girls and boys are becoming sexually active when they're still children.
Yes.
And this is eliminating their childhood, and then little girls get pregnant, and some of them die because they are unable to handle actually giving birth. Their bodies aren't mature or big enough. All right? And then because they have 10 years of additional hormone production in their body over what they normally should have been by entering puberty at 18, they then have a greater increase of prostate cancer and breast cancer. In addition, if a young girl or a middle-aged woman, anyone, has an abortion, it will dramatically increase your incidence of developing breast cancer. And I discuss that on my videos, why that happens. Now, if you have a normal miscarriage, that will not happen. But if you have an abortion, it will dramatically increase your risk of breast cancer. Now, the interesting thing is the feminist movement wants to have unlimited abortion, but they also want to find the cure for cancer of the breast. Okay? So here, they're demanding unlimited abortion, which is one of the things that's causing an increase in breast cancer in women.
Well, how about the pill? What does the pill do to women?
Oh, same thing. Major increase in breast cancer by being on the pill. Major increase. But you
some women are on it 30, 40, 30 years.
That's correct. That's correct. And so, but you see, the people who run the pharmaceutical companies are, again, mainly Jews. Look at Eli Lilly.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Jewish. And they're all, virtually all owned by the Jews now.
Well, Sanofi Synthelabo is completely owned by the Jews. That's the third largest.
And
you've got
so this is their way of killing the population,
yeah,
but doing it slowly and making a lot of money as they go. Chemotherapy and radiation destroy the immune system of a person with cancer. You cannot develop cancer until your immune system is suppressed. Then they want to give you something that will suppress your immune system even more. Well, it doesn't make any sense to try to get a sick person well by giving them poison. And that's what they're doing. So hospitals have really become temples of sacrifice, and certainly not to God. They are just sacrificing people right and left. It's like the old pagan temples where they did human sacrifices. That's what the hospitals have become.
Well, Lorraine, in America, the statistic is that 225,000 people died last year directly attributable to the actions of their doctor.
Well, that's correct. And not only that, 500,000 die from cancer, and 1 million die from heart disease. And so this is a way of population extermination where people actually think they're going to their doctor and getting something good. But again, like the low-level Jews are deceived by their leaders, the doctors who think they're at high level are really at low level. They're being deceived. They're giving vaccinations. I was deceived for many, many years. I was teaching my residents and interns and medical students about the good things about vaccinations, not realizing that I was deceived myself.
What have you found to be truthful about the old type of Chinese medicine, the old type, now the kind that really actually looked at the interaction of body with herbs, body with balance, body with healthfulness?
They
take a holistic approach, an entire approach to medicine.
Yes, but see, I do not subscribe to Chinese medicine. I subscribe to a whole body approach, but not a New Age approach.
Mm-hmm.
The New Age approach of mind, body, and spirit, they still get you into the wrong mode. What you have to do, see, disease is not caused by deficiency of herbs. Herbs are not bad. but they're not meant to be taken all the time to make you well. The way you stay well is by following the 10 natural laws. We know that there are laws that govern our world, like the law of gravity. Law of gravity is operating on everybody, whether they know it or not. And if you don't like the law of gravity, or if you don't know about it, or if you resist it and you decide you're going to go to a high building and jump, the law of gravity is still acting on you whether you like it or not.
That's right.
You're
going to
go down.
Yeah.
Well, there are 10 laws of health that operate on every single person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they are operating night and day on everybody, whether they know about them or not. Now, if you don't know about them, or if you do know about them, and you resist them, you will most likely develop a disease and die a very painful early death. If you know about them and you live within them, you will live a long and healthy life and very likely not get any serious disease, and you will just die in your sleep at a very, very old age. That's the way we're supposed to live and die, right? And not this, you know, this excruciating business that everybody's going through with cancer and heart disease and Parkinson's and all of this other. This is
well, even by- but you know, when we go to the store, if you're living up in San Francisco area, and even me over here in France, I have in the summertime the ability to buy from the directly from my neighbor's farm, the farmer. But most of the soils where much of this mechanized farming is going on has been mineral depleted. And many of the vegetables today, when you put them under, tests and stuff, are depleted of their quality minerals because the soil they were grown in was high concentrate nitrogens, but no mineral replenishment.
Well, that is true. However, I just want everybody to realize that certainly the soils are depleted. But I didn't get well from cancer 100 years ago. I got well in the last 15 years.
Yep,
where
yep.
The soils were depleted. I try to buy organically grown food, which is
yep.
grown in richer soil, not grown with pesticides. I try whenever I can to get organically grown food.
Yep.
But people are frequently worried about the depletion of the soil while they're spending most of their money buying animal products anyway, which are far more deadly because the animal eats the pesticides that are
yep.
given to them, plus they eat other dead sick and dead animals, and they're supposed to be vegetarians. Cows are supposed to be vegetarians. Sheep are supposed to be vegetarians, and they're feeding them pellets made from other animals. So they're feeding vegetarians a meat diet, and that will always make them sick. That's where mad sheep disease, which is scrapie, came from, and
yep.
that's where mad cow disease came from. But people are always worried about, oh, the soil and the pesticides. But when you eat animal flesh, the animal eats the pesticides and concentrates them in their flesh. So when you eat animal product, you're eating 1,000 times more pesticides than if you're eating sprayed fruits and vegetables.
You're absolutely right.
So
you know, one of the interesting...
They're concentrating on the wrong thing.
You're absolutely right. And you know, I live in an area, a farming area, where people actually raise their own eggs and beef and everything else for themselves, actually.
Well, that's better, but still, the whole point is stop eating them. Just eat fruit, green,
but they live long here, Lorraine. They do die the way you're talking about. They die in their 90s and stuff
yeah,
where I live here.
Right.
And they're living a long time.
Yeah.
And
they would
and
live
I,
even longer if they stopped eating. See, the animal products take 3 days to go through your intestine.
Yeah.
Because we have a long coiled intestine, and I talk about this on the DVD, You Can't Improve on God. The animals, that are vegetarians, like the sheep and the horse and the human being, have a long coiled intestine. And so when you eat meat, when you're supposed to be a vegetarian, which we all are supposed to be because we have the same intestinal tract as animals that are vegetarians, when we eat meat, the meat stops up in our intestine, goes very slowly through our intestine, and it putrefies. And when it putrefies, we absorb all of that putrefaction, and it slows our intestinal contents down, and people get constipated, which is one of the main sources of all cancer, including colon cancer and every other kind of cancer, is constipation, because animal products dehydrate the body, and they slow down the intestinal waste assimilation. So you reabsorb all of that into your body, and it's all this putrefaction material. All you have to do is take a pound of ground round or a steak and put it out on your kitchen counter and leave it there 3 days. Turn the heat in your house up to 100 degrees, which is essentially body temperature. Body temperature is 98.6 Fahrenheit. Turn up to 100 degrees Fahrenheit and see if you want to eat that steak or ground round at the end of 3 days. No, it's filthy. You don't want to eat it, but that's what happens in your body. And you see, the cat family, who are meant to eat meat, have a very short, straight intestine, so they can get that out very rapidly. But you will also notice that they don't have endurance. The cat family can run fast for a short time, and then they have to stop and rest. But the animals who are the beasts of burdens, like elephants and camels and horses and all of those, they are all vegetarians, and they have tremendous endurance. And so that's what we're supposed to have, is that tremendous endurance. And when you eat vegetarian, you will have that tremendous endurance. You talked about being almost 50. I have as much energy as I did when I was 25 years old. I water ski, I snow ski, I go to the gym. I can do all of those things. I work full time. And next month I'll be 70.
Well, you see, I'm learning. You know, I came into this stuff the back door, and I mean, I made a lot of mistakes on my path to being better, treat myself better. And I can tell you, Lorraine, that I have followed much of what you're talking about here, and I've got it from many people. In fact, you know, this is not a secret. People are talking about this is the way to become a better thinking and better feeling human being. And I'm starting to do it, and I found that the results are almost automatic. They're almost immediate.
Well, that's right. If people would just try it, they would find out they would feel so much better. But unfortunately, people are addicted to so many things. They're not only addicted to caffeine and cigarettes and drugs and medicinal drugs from the doctor and alcohol, but they're addicted to eating what they want to eat. So they want to eat their own way, even if it causes them pain. And somehow, you know, before the introduction of the development of antibiotics and things like that in the 1930s and 40s, people knew how to live and eat better. They realized that what they put in their mouth was the only thing that they had to make new cells out of. And so every forkful or spoonful of food either will make you sicker or healthier. So it's extremely important. But after antibiotics came in, they thought, I need live any way I want, and here I've got a quick fix drug to fix me. But the drugs don't fix you. When you take antibiotics, it wipes out the good bacteria in your colon, the good bacteria that I talked about that form these substances which keep you from entering puberty too early.
Yep.
It wipes out the good bacteria that help you to digest your food. And so then it allows overgrowth. If people talk about they have candida or candida, doctors call it candida, patients call it candida. The whole point is when you have that, it's mainly from eating too much sugar or having too many antibiotics, which have wiped out the good bacteria in your colon.
Yeah.
The body's got to be in balance, and so the people have done it to themselves.
Well, you know, it's actually ending up in our groundwater. I mean, right now, if you test the groundwater in America and in Europe, we've got Prozac in there, we've got Ellerill in there, we've got antibiotics in the water.
Well, that's true, but see, you can get filtered water. You can filter it yourself. And so all you have to do is you can get pure water and drink that.
Yep.
But it's far more destructive to the health of a person what they're actually knowingly and willingly putting into their mouth. You know, we don't want to get all hung up on the minor things people are talking about. Oh, yes, look at the air pollution. Yeah, well, why don't you get out in it and at least run and do something and get some exercise? Oh, I don't want to go outside because of the air pollution. Well, outside air is still a lot healthier than inside air.
Well, that's a fact.
Yeah.
And you know something, Lorraine? Whenever you've been on this show, we always actually plumb different subjects. We touch on many of the same often, but more different information, because I remember, and I go back and listen to these broadcasts that we do together. I'm proud to know you and proud to work with you. The work we do here on the French Connection is important, and it's important for that next group of people who are going to carry on this battle, because I got to tell you, it's heating up now. The American public is not largely waking up, but there is a segment within our country's population that is, and they are angry, and they're asking, and they're demanding answers. They just don't know where to find them, and we need to be there with those correct responses to their questions, because if we can get enough traction, these people are not that numerous. They're only 0.0016% of the world's population, almost nil. How could they take everything over?
Well, because they have made allegiances with the elitists who are non-Jews, okay? That's the way they have done it. Until they get total control, then they'll destroy them too. But let me tell you, the real entering wedge to help people understand truth is to clean up their bodies and clean up their minds by the way they eat and the way they live. Because people cannot understand truth when their mind is full, when their blood vessels are full of fat, animal fat, when they're eating MSG and NutraSweet and fluoride and medications and all of these things. They can't understand truth. So the very best thing, and if they're in pain or if they're suffering from some disease, they're not interested in truth. They're just interested in trying to find out a way to relieve their pain. But when you start bringing them information on how to be well and how to clean up their bodies and clean up their brains, that, see, the problem with this, you're talking about the Chinese way of mind-body, when they get people into Zen Buddhism or they get people into New Age meditation, these are all very dangerous things. They New Agers eat healthier than Christians. They do eat healthier than Christians, but then they get taken into this thing of meditation. Meditation is self-help hypnosis, and they become just as stupid and zombie-like as if you sit and watch TV. And I know that there are a lot of people who do yoga out there who are going to be very upset with me, but the facts are the facts. And so
we don't shrink.
No. And so the whole point is you've got to have a clean mind and a clean body in order to understand truth. And again, I have that information particularly on my DVDs.
Give both of you websites again before we close out the show here, Lorraine, so that everybody can have that information, please.
www.drday.com, drday.com. And realize that there are many people who are trying to make their websites look like mine, but the only one that is mine and the only one that I endorse is drday.com.
And good news about God also, all one word.
goodnewsaboutgod.com, right.
Yeah, you know, we have links on our site to yours, and I got to tell you, I'm never going to stop fighting. And you know, it's stressful sometimes, and I wish I was doing something else at times. But then again, I take some relish and some joy in the fact that I'm doing the right thing.
That's right.
You know, there's a reward that I have internally for doing the right thing.
And you do right because it is right, not because you're going to get, any praise from anybody else.
No.
When I was speaking out about the AIDS epidemic and showing that we ought to test anybody who comes into a doctor's office without a specific informed consent for AIDS, just like we can test for anything else without a specific informed consent. Oh, my word, I was called every name in the book, and they were screaming and yelling at me, and every time I would speak, the homosexuals would be out in mass picketing and all that. Now, the Centers for Disease Control, with Julie Gerberding at the head, has now declared that AIDS can be tested for without a special signed informed consent 20 years later. I don't see all of these news people who are calling me homophobic bigots lined up at my door to apologize.
No,
know?
They won't either.
They don't ever do that. But the whole point is what I was calling for 20 years ago, where I was called every name in the book, now has been instituted.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just keep chipping away with the truth, and it's not up to us to close the deal. All we have to do is tell truth out there, and there will be people who gravitate to the truth who want to know. The others aren't going to be interested anyway.
That's right, you're right. But we're getting a lot of hits, and I got to tell you, I love inviting you on every few months because there's always new developments, and there's always new parts of the story that we figure out here,
yes.
And I want to thank you, and your organization is important to the French Connection, and so are you. And I want to thank you so much for being on this show. You have my highest respect, Lorraine.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, thanks again. And ladies and gentlemen, that's Dr. Lorraine Day, and you can find her information on our website. And she will be back in a couple of months or so to talk about other subjects. But until that time, I want to thank her for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of this particular broadcast of the French Connections, actually Tuesday edition today, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening, and go out there and do the due diligence. Make sure you know the things you're talking about. It is the 9th day of January, by the way, Tuesday the 9th, not the 10th, and I want to thank each one of you for being with me here on the French Connection. Until next time, thank you very much, and be well. Bye-bye.